Okay, this is the hour we call Conversations with Linda. You call, she talks. But also we're looking for some great stories that she can work on as well, so we'll do all of that next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Linda Moultonow. Linda, a story that has gone widely unreported, by and large, by the mainstream media. Monsanto's buying a company that claims that it developed a product which will help bees from colony collapse disorder. It's a strange story, strange marriage, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm trying to find out more about this because I think everyone who listens to Coast, who goes to Earth Files, who reads the books by Jim Mars, and those of us who are actually trying to get to facts, we're very well aware that there are all kinds of deceptive corporate headlines that can cover up something else that's insidious. And Monsanto is certainly not known for doing anything good for the environment. So when I know more about that, I can report it further. But I read the same thing and wondered, what am I reading here? And I'll try to find out more.
Okay, very good.
But I want to just share a brief paragraph I got from a man who was listening. He grew up in Detroit. He knows all about Zug Island and the car and steel and all of that. And he has this very interesting comment. You mentioned the salt mines. The mines are no longer active. However, talk to anyone in that exact same area, and they all will tell you stories of multiple occasions of deep underground blasts and rumblings, generally around 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. Nobody really understands what is going on. The salt mines are 1,800 feet below the surface. Who knows? Perhaps it is related. If anybody listening in that Detroit area has any other information about the salt mines, something going on underground that may be related to a secret military or other operation, I hope that you will email me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. I have been getting lots of emails from people about hums, strange hums, in a lot of different parts of the country. But the most interesting, apparently this happened Thursday, and it comes from a TV, WBIR, and this is in the subdivision of Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And this is the headline on the web is Ground-Shaking Booms Puzzle Louisville Neighborhood. And it quotes a variety of people about hearing this scary sound. But here's what's so interesting to me, because it reminds me of exactly the description of one of the witnesses in Woodland County, Durham, in England. Last Monday, about a week and a half ago, it was around 3 a.m., and it was pow. All of a sudden, we heard a loud explosion. It sounded like it came from inside our house. It shook the walls. It shook the floor. It shook the ceiling. We thought maybe a gas line had exploded. Maybe our house was going to blow up. We thought it was really serious. And they ran downstairs and outside. And then the ground is shaking like a big sonic boom. And then it went away. That's exactly the same description that went to the Environmental Protection County Council office in England.
It is weird. I think there's something going on in terms of bunkers. I don't know. That's just my guess.
Well, a Tennessee National Guard spokesman confirmed there were no military operations in the area that could create the ground-shaking experience. But then again, how do we believe anything that the government and military tells us about anything anymore at all? I don't know. But from my perspective of how many emails I persistently get about unexplained booms, and now because I focused on the hums, I'm getting information from other places that we have not heard about. And it makes you stand back from all of this and say, what could be causing loud wall-shaking booms in various parts of the United States, Canada, and England.
I know. Let's go to some calls here, Linda. First-time caller, Yvonne in Blanca, Colorado. Hi, Yvonne. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling because I'm like 90 miles north of Taos, and we have the hum. One of the reasons why I bought this property was because I was hoping that there was hot springs and I could put a well in there and have hot water. What I have noticed is that right before these really big earthquakes, the hum gets really loud. It was really loud right before the one in New Zealand where it actually woke me up and my teeth and were hurting and I had a headache. We've been getting those sonic booms as well here. And I've noticed that when there was that other earthquake in Trinidad near in Colorado that's near us, mm-hmm. we had rumbling over here too. After the aftershocks in Japan, there were three frequencies that you could hear of hums. And I tried to call the earthquake center, but I wasn't able to get a hold of them. But I think it correlated something with the earthquakes, too. It's either triggering it or it's like foreshadowing that they're coming. And I was wondering if maybe there was someone out there that could set up some equipment, because if we could predict it from the humming, you know, you can't pinpoint exactly, but it usually starts about 3 weeks before a major earthquake.
Where are you located?
I'm in the San Luis Valley. I'm about 90 miles north of Taos. I'm right in front of Mount Blanca.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, it's like 14,000 feet is for Blanca, but we're like at about almost 8,000 feet elevation over here. My property is all full of lava rocks.
Well,
so there's
one of the most, one of the most interesting stories that I ever heard from Mount Blanca. That area above the sand dunes. It was a man, he was an engineer. He worked in Denver when I was director of special projects at the CBS station. And he was a hiker. And he was with a colleague, and they were up on top of Mount Blanca. It was in the afternoon, and all of a sudden they both heard it. They said it sounded like a turbine started up deep inside of Mount Blanca. They were so shocked, they put their ears down to the ground, both of them, and they were high up on the mountain. And they are both hearing this turbine humming sound, and the ground is vibrating, and they stayed listening, totally baffled. And then suddenly the sound stopped. And he called me up at the TV station to tell me and to ask me, what in the world could be making a turbine spinning sound deep inside of Mount Blanca up above the sand dunes.
All right, thanks, Linda. West of the Rockies, Mary, Salt Lake City. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Linda. It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
I sleep outside in the summertime because I like to look at the stars. But lately, I have been listening to the ground. I mean, you just can't help it. There is a low hum in the ground, and it's right below the Rocky Mountains in Salt Lake City, or in Holiday, Utah. And I brought my husband out, and he can hear it too. And then tonight, there was a big sonic boom. The electricity didn't go off or anything like that. I've heard this before because I've lived in Utah for a long time, and earthquakes have happened when I've heard these noises before. And I don't know if that's what we're expecting, but they're way down deep in the ground. I wish I could explain it to you.
Well, do you mean that now, let's say it's where I am, it's 2:20 a.m., so I think we're both in mountain time.
Right, yes,
do you mean that if you went out right now outside of your home and you laid down on the ground that you are hearing some kind of vibration or hum?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd be interested in hearing from any other Earth Files viewers and Coast listeners who are in the Utah, Salt Lake area.
Okay.
Anybody else has tried this or has experienced this, I would like to know, because clearly there is the gigantic Hill Air Force Base with a tremendous underground installation there. We know that. And that a lot of material that went from Area 51 in an exodus about 8 or 9 years ago, we also know went into Utah.
I know that.
So what is it that possibly could be happening that is American military, that is underground, that could be causing vibrations and or something else that we don't know and is not identified? I'd really welcome feedback to earthfiles@earthfiles.com from people in the Salt Lake area and Hill Air Force Base area if you have any information about this.
Linda, you're not one to speculate, so I can't ask you to do that, but this is a weird story, isn't it?
Well, it is fitting into so many others. If you had one email in a year about a strange boom or a strange hum, then it hardly is a blip on the radar. But when you have hundreds, and I have hundreds of emails that have come to me over the last 12 months from people, not necessarily only in North America, because I hear the same thing from people that can be down in Australia or Europe. And what is this that could be causing these kinds of similar shakings, booms? That's one category. And then the low frequency hums is another category, but none of us know. Could they be related? And that what the callers tonight are raising is the issue. Could this kind of hum and or boom be related to something going on underground that could be Mother Nature moving rocks, or something else is moving rocks and causing all of these booms and sounds? Or, as in the human abduction syndrome, it's been described for decades that the human abductees say that we are dealing with intelligences that do move point to point in this universe, that they know how to bend space-time, that they do know how to come into and cause tears in the electromagnetic fields around our planet, and that in the process of doing that, there are these huge, bright flashes of light that go off like the flash on a camera. I've seen this myself multiple times, Colorado, England, and South America. I've seen these bright flashes that cover the entire landscape, and they last for a fraction of a second, and they are so bright that they stun you. I've seen this myself. And then the whole question is, could this, let's say that there is some kind of an interference, interruption, tear in a magnetic field in the Earth deliberately, can that set off some kind of reaction in the air molecules? I don't know the answer to this. In the air molecules that could cause a sound. Thunder is caused by the rapid expansion and collapse of air molecules caused by the heating from lightning. So that we know. We know what thunder is. We know it's the rapid expansion and collapse of air molecules. Well, these huge, loud, stunning booms at 3 o'clock in the morning, could they be caused by something interacting with the magnetic fields of the Earth coming and going? And these are all questions I wish I had answers. And if anybody listening has any more information, please get in touch with me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And George, I would like to let everybody know that I am going to be talking about the ETs, time travelers, and self-activating machines in both Philadelphia and New York City in October. And I care a great deal about this material I'm sharing with audiences now. And I would like the Coast audience to know that I'll be in Philadelphia at the MUFON conference, and there's a hot link at my earthfiles.com headlines page to the registration there. And that will be October 15th and 16th. And then FIONS, which is the Friends of the Institute of Noetic Sciences that was founded by astronaut Edgar Mitchell.
Yeah.
They are, the New York chapter is having me join Whitley Strieber and Rich Dolan, and the three of us will be speaking on our various aspects. I'm going to also talk about ETs, time travelers, and self-activating machines before the Fions off audience. And I have a hot link at my Earth Files headlines page also to registration there. And I hope a lot of you in the Philadelphia and the New York region who listen to Coast and come to Earth Files, that you will make one of these venues, because the information, I think, is becoming just so important in relationship to events that might unfold on this planet, having to do with the fact that we're not alone in this universe. And I would love to meet and shake hands with as many of you as can make Fions in New York on October 22nd. That's a Saturday. And in Philadelphia, I'm speaking on October 15th. So I hope to see you all there. And the time travel aspect of this, of course, relates directly to this issue. Michio Kaku talks about it a great deal, that he would project that there would be advanced intelligences, advanced enough to be able to move point to point through time, interacting with magnetic fields. Because we can't do it does not mean that something else in this universe does do it.
That's right. International line, Barry's in Windsor, Ontario, might have some info for us. Go ahead, Barry.
Hi, George. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hey, I heard you mention earlier about the salt mines.
Yeah.
Anyways, I live directly above the salt mines that are located just outside of Windsor.
Are you hearing this hum, Barry?
Yes, I do, very often. It starts late in the evening. Sometimes you hear it just after dark. A lot of times in the middle of the night, if you have your windows open, you can't sleep. I know I've complained about it. My neighbors have all complained about it.
Does it feel like it's coming underground?
It does not. What I did and what I suggest other people to try is, if you hear this hum, do something real simple. Go in your basement, put your ear to the basement floor, if it's cement, of course.
And
if it's underground, you should be able to hear it.
It should be vibrating. Where do you think it's coming from?
Well, Environment Canada's got involved, and they set up some monitoring equipment.
Okay.
And the way it works is similar to the way, you know, I think it's in London, England, where they can triangulate
right
with microphones how to find a gunshot.
Yeah.
They use the same technology to triangulate, and surprisingly, they've narrowed it down to Zug Island, which I know George is familiar with.
Oh, sure, absolutely, and that's what Linda was talking about. But what do they think is going on that island?
Well, they did some investigation already, and they found that within the past several months, they've restarted some machinery that's been decommissioned for quite some time.
Huh.
So that's what they're suspecting. And right now, Environment Canada is getting involved with some agency with Michigan to try to narrow down the issue.
All right, let's get your reaction to that, Linda, when we come back in just a moment. Linda's website, earthfiles.com, and you can send her an email, as I do all the time, at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. You can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com as well. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls. Conversations with Linda on Coast to Coast AM. So here we go. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, it's our Friday night into Saturday morning show. That means open lines. And when we come back, let's take final calls with Linda on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back with Linda, back with your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll go to Jeff in Huntsville, Texas. Hey, Jeff, thanks. Go ahead.
Hi. You all were talking about the hum, it sounds like something that we worked with when I was in the Air Force. Normally, we would use gas turbine electrical generators when we needed supplemental electricity, but we also worked on something called pulse detonation electrical generation, which it's similar to what was used for the V-1 buzz bombs back in the 1940s.
Okay.
And those operated at 45 hertz, but now we can fine-tune them to operate at different frequencies, and for the hums, that persistent hum, that's what it sounds like a lot of the people are experiencing at these factories and stuff like that. For the explosion sounds that it sounds like people are saying are coming from these salt mines, I'm not an expert in this, so I can't really speak to it specifically, but things that I overheard, kind of like rumors, were that DARPA was exploring being able to use magnet or the magnetosphere to control the magma in the earth and the way that it spins in that, and then that way they can cause earthquakes at various points. And it was the Australia and the Alaskan, I can't even remember what it was called, but the great big, you know, the early warning radar that we used to have?
The HARP? They were able about HARP up there?
Right, right, the HARP system. That's what they were using to bounce it off the ionosphere or magnetosphere, and then that way they were trying to control the spin of the magma.
Interesting. Well, Linda, what's your reaction to that and also Zug Island from the previous call?
I would like to ask this gentleman, the pulse detonation from the war, can you explain how it works and why the Hertz frequency has changed?
Pulse detonation is, instead of using the higher quality fuels, it uses really cheap hexane and heptane, the stuff that causes knocking in gasoline. And since it's normally considered waste fuel, they use that for this. And basically what happens is you inject the gas into the combustor. You can use anything from a spark plug to whatever else that you wanted to ignite it. When that happens, the gases very rapidly expand. Instead of just burning, they deflagrate, and then it forces air out the back, and then the air that goes forward closes the shutters so that no more air can go in or out until the cycle is completed. And then by doing this, that's how they're able to spin the rotor that creates the electrical generation. The difference in frequency is just a fine tuning. I'm not an electrical engineer, so I really couldn't say, but it's just something that's evolved over time. They try to make it where it is more in the infrasonic range. They try to create sound baffles so that it doesn't bother the people that are working on it, but I really don't know if it is traveling over the water, and that's what's causing it, you know, to go from that Zug Island to the place in Canada or what. That would just be my guess.
It's the Detroit River. I mean, it just, Windsor is on one side, Zug Island is on the American side, so it isn't like lots and lots of water, but the Zug Island, I'm assuming that the man who called in before the break may have been at the September 29th meeting that was held that I talked about when I did my news report, and I am to get an update tomorrow from Gary Gross, but I'm assuming he missed the radio report and that he was calling in because that they had a meeting.
Right.
And that they were probably talking about the fact that they had lines that were drawn on maps and that they were crossing at Zug Island. And that may be true, but does Zug Island explain the last 2 years of the strange hums that have been reported over a broad geographic area? And what is it about what the Steel Corporation is doing now that is different than it was before? And I know that it was closed down for a while, and then it's been reopened. And I know that Gary Gross is convinced that they have gigantic fans there, and that he thinks that a lot of this is associated to these large industrial fans. But Woodland in England, according to the Telegraph, they sent a reporter, and they couldn't find any industrial, any kind of link to what has been described there. And remember, it was one of the people in Woodland, it was that same description of the shaking walls, the shaking floor, the shaking ceiling.
Right.
What in the world? And we had that same report, remember?
Yeah.
In New Year's Eve this year, when all the birds and fish and all of that
all fell from the sky.
Right?
Or died.
And what was being reported? Booms in about 13 states in which people said they were waked up at night, walls shaking, running outside, but the neighbor next door heard nothing. Now, what are these focused wall shaking, ceiling shaking? How is this occurring? and it is so confined that it might affect only one or two houses.
This is a perplexing story. Linda's in Apache Junction, Arizona. Go ahead, Linda, west of the Rockies.
Hi, thank you so much.
Sure.
I just wanted to report that I'd never heard the sound, had never heard the story before, knew nothing about it. I was up late Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, reading. A little bit of insomnia, normally really good sound sleeper, but I dozed off, and about 1 a.m., I woke up to this very strange, deep humming sound, and it unnerved me, and I thought, what is this? And I live in a very, as you know, hot climate, so I turned off the fan, and I turned off my in-room air conditioner, and I turned off the air conditioner on the roof. It did not stop. It did not go away. And it was like nothing I'd ever heard before. And it kind of scared me.
Did you ask neighbors if they heard?
I thought about it the next day. And I thought, and this is so stupid, I know. I thought, if I go over there, they're going to think I'm crazy. Oh. You know, they're going to think, what's wrong with this lady? I thought about calling the Apache Junction police. I didn't. But get this. This is really weird. Okay, I turned on the History Channel, and I was watching this show on ancient aliens the next day, and you came up as a reporter on this program, and I sat here in my chair, and I started researching you and a couple of these other people on this program, and I found out that you are extremely legit person, and you really know what you're talking about, and that piqued my interest, and then that led me to this to your radio show where I found out about this program about the hum. And so I've been researching it ever since, and I stayed up late last night thinking that you were going to be on, and you weren't, and then I stayed up again tonight, and you're on tonight. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your time and your efforts and great the energy that you're putting into this, and that I am normally don't pay attention to these things, although I am very interested in UFOs. I hope someday to see one. But I thank you, and I just wanted to tell you that it happened here in Apache Junction, Arizona, about 35 miles east of Phoenix, and this is right on the edge of the Superstition Mountains. It's a volcanic area that runs through here. And that's all I wanted to say, and thank you for all your wonderful efforts. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the report, and I would appreciate it if you would email me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com so I have your name and address and phone number, and that you can stay in touch with me if you rehear that hum again. It's very important for all of us to stop being afraid of going to neighbors to get a reality check on whether something that we think we've seen or heard may have been seen or heard by a neighbor, because often people are keeping all of this in to themselves, closed in, just like Alan Ferguson in Australia didn't talk to a single human being for about 7 years about anything he was doing because he was so afraid of being ridiculed. How are we all going to know what is really happening if we can't talk with each other honestly? So I really honor you for calling in about this, and that if anybody else in Apache Junction, Arizona, this past week, if you have heard any kind of a hum that woke you up or kept you awake, please email me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. There may be a natural explanation. There may be an industrial explanation, or it may be in that other category that we're all trying to understand, that the Earth is not alone.
And Indiana's had this. It seems to be all over the place.
That's right.
Let's go next to John in Cleveland, Ohio. First time caller. Hi, John.
Hi, George. Hey, long time listener. Great fan.
Thank you.
Linda, I just wanted to bring up, this is kind of off topic, but you keep talking about the magnetic changes in the atmosphere. Over the past few years, my wife and I, we've noticed thunderstorms that the thunder has actually kind of changed harmonic tone. And it's very, very kind of weird. My wife and I, we talk about it every time we have storms. And one thing that we've noticed over the years is that we have a small little peek-a-poo, and it used to never be scared of storms. Over the past year or two, it's developed a anxiety with the storm. And my friend Chris and I, we were talking about it, and we were kind of doing some research on it. And we know that we're not the only families with small dogs that have experienced this. There's a company out there that makes a product for that, and it's been flying off the shelves like hotcakes. I'm just wondering if you've ever experienced or heard any changes in the way that the thunder in the atmosphere during storms have been carrying on.
Well, it's an interesting question, and I would like to make sure that everyone understands that thunder is a physical process of rapid expansion of air molecules and collapse related to the energy that comes out of lightning bolts, suddenly heats up the air, and then the air suddenly cools. That's thunder. Magnetic fields are a whole other different issue. We were talking about the two in relationship to sounds that might be created if something moved into or interacted with the magnetic fields of the Earth. That's one issue. What's happening with energy in thunder is related to the amount of heating of the air and the collapse of the air molecules. So if there is more energy and intensity in storms, would that cause there to be a change in the sound of thunder? I have not read anything about it. I know that when I lived in Philadelphia for 13 years, that the thunder there is so powerful, it's scary. And I grew up in the West. My dad loved to watch and listen to thunderstorms. It would take my brother and me out to a place that was safe, and we saw lots of thunderstorms. And I was never scared by the thunder in Boise, Idaho, but I was terrified often of like bombs dropping in Philadelphia. I remember asking somebody about why was the quality of thunder in Philadelphia like bombs dropping, but back in Idaho, where I grew up, it had more of a rifle cracking sound. I don't know. I do not know. And if somebody listening knows why there should be the bomb dropping thunder in Philadelphia versus the rifle cracking thunder in Idaho, I'd love to know if there is some scientific explanation. I guess the other piece of all this is that there's no question that storms and the dynamics of storms are becoming increasingly energetic in some parts of the world. This has been in the computer models having to do with global warming now for 25 years, that a time would come when there would be more and more energy in storms. And I think, unfortunately, we are experiencing it. And when you look at the statistics, that in the year 2011, we're almost at the end of it, there have been more billion-plus dollar catastrophes related to weather than any other year on record.
Let me get this breaking story in, by the way. Reportedly, U.S.-born terror boss Anwar al-Awlaki has been killed in Yemen. He was the cleric, and a few months ago, President Barack Obama gave the go-ahead to take him out, and he reportedly is dead. Let's go to Art, truck driving in Louisiana. We'll get you in here. Art, go ahead.
Yes, Linda, I sent you an email explaining that I've been seeing a lot of UFO activity in northern Texas and northern Louisiana.
Yeah.
And I also mentioned in the email that I believe that somebody has to have 20/20 vision or better to see them. They're flying very high, but at any given time of night, wherever it is that I choose to stop and look up, I can see multiple craft. They're flying very high. They can move around very quickly. And I haven't been able to locate any information online about this activity, but it's a huge number of these UFOs, And I have to believe that there's some kind of intervention going on, because I can't imagine that they're just flying around for the heck of it and just looking down. I think they may be up to something up there with our atmosphere, but it's hard for me to talk about this because I know how loony it sounds talking about UFOs, but
not on this show.
That is true. But I'm telling you, there is a large number of amount of UFO activity taking place.
Well, that's what the people in the Northern Territory are saying, and in spots around the Earth. And the question that none of us can answer, we're totally speculative, is who is it? Why are they here? What do they want? How long have they been interacting with the Earth? And is something going to finally present itself in a global public way, regardless of what human governments want, and that we will finally get past this ridiculous policy of denial, allegedly in the interest of national security, which is not national security. We're living in social imprisonment by illusion, and the illusion is a policy of denial that is kept in place, allegedly for national security. It's 1984 speak.
It sure is. Linda, we're running out of time. Keep in touch with us. I look forward to next month. You know, we're getting into the holidays, too, so get me your schedule. We'll sit down and go over it and get you planned out for the rest of the year, okay?
All right, and God bless everybody.
Linda Moulton Howe, Earthfiles at earthfiles.com. Now, don't forget, Friday night into Saturday morning, it'll be those open lines plus a special hotline for you. So get ready for that as well. And then don't forget to join our Facebook, follow it by simply going to coasttocoastam.com like so many of you already are. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.